Hey, we're back. This is the Bachelor Masters. We've got a few things to talk about, including the final episode of Michelle's season and after the final rose. Do we want to start with And Just Like That, episode 3?
I have not seen it yet.
Oh, okay. I don't think much happens.
No, I mean, something that I think everyone wanted closure on. Well, not really, but if they were going to give us closure on it, we're all very happy to see it because. And I was kind of like, well, do you care if I tell you at least who's in it?
No, I think it's fine because I mean, I'm not
in the previews
rush to watch it, but go.
You know, Tom Brady's ex who he left when she was pregnant for Giselle.
Yes. And she played Natasha, right?
Yeah. And I can only think of her in that one way.
Wait, so Tom Brady's girlfriend who he dumped when she was pregnant with his kid had a role on Sex and the City.
Yes.
And now everyone, she's reprising that role.
Yes. And everyone kind of thought it's payback for being with Big. But now we know that who Tom Brady is.
Right. Yeah, I don't
it's
think
all it's come back in a circle for a lot of people.
Because, like, I mean, it's been a while since I've seen those episodes. But my understanding was always Natasha didn't know about Carrie. At least at first.
We're talking in character here now.
Yeah. It was
she was dating Big and then married to Big. And he was having an affair with Carrie throughout, like, a lot of that.
Right.
Yeah.
But I don't see how that's Natasha's
fault. I thought she came back in episode 2.
No.
What, have you seen any of it yet, Craig?
No.
Okay, well, then why are you commenting?
Well, who's the late... Wasn't Big married to a model and that he was cheating on her, too? This is another woman?
No. Same woman.
Same woman. I think episode technically... Three. Has his character been married 3 times, maybe?
I think he was married before he met Carrie.
Yeah. And then he was married once, the person that is, like, never on the show, but mentioned maybe vaguely that he had been married before. Then he meets Carrie. Then he marries Natasha. Then they divorce. Then he marries Carrie eventually.
Yeah. And because we only see Carrie's very visceral reaction to him being married and him choosing someone else, we're on Carrie's side for it. I mean, it's nothing against Natasha. We're just on Carrie's side. Yeah. But when the whole Tom Brady thing happened, I think a lot of people were like, huh, now it's a lot different. But I'm just saying what it was at the time. It's not my interpretation. I'm just saying that that's the attitude people had towards the actress getting flack. Remember?
You think that the actress got flack in real life because of her character on Sex and the City?
I remember, yeah. That's without social media, because there wasn't exactly social media at the time, but I remember this, the feeling of like, well, you know, she got dumped pregnant. This is not like I said, I did not watch the show live. I'm just telling you what I remember of people's reaction.
Okay. And now that has passed because.
Well, now, I mean, it is a horrible thing to do no matter what.
Right.
Doesn't matter what people think about the actress, Bridget Moynihan, I think is her name, right? Is that pronounced correctly?
Yes, I'm pretty sure it's her name.
Well, that's why the Bachelor Masters podcast doesn't like Mike.
Who's Mike?
Mike, the Bachelor contestant.
Oh my God. When you say a name like Michael, David, or John, you can't just say, or Chris, you can't just say one name.
Because there's so many Mikes and Michaels on this show.
Didn't he leave his girlfriend while she was pregnant?
Who are you talking about?
Who?
Mike, the guy who you made me get into a Twitter war with, who threatened to punch me. Mike.
Mike, who? Can you say a last name? Can you say a descriptive?
Bachelor Nation loves him. He did the Pope Pity Rose thing.
Oh, Mike Johnson from Hannah Brown's season. See how I added like 4 words?
And he tweeted something about like his past relationship.
No, he did not leave her pregnant. No, he did not leave her pregnant. He told a story about a miscarriage.
Right,
that didn't sit right. Yes, that's very different.
So I tweeted, I tweeted, you missed him leaving his girlfriend after she miscarried, and then he threatened to. Well, which is probably a dick move. Anyway.
I don't even think that's what happened, Craig. What happened was that he said that someone went, I can tell you who, that Cameron had a pity rose story when he himself had a pity rose story. Right. That was the accusation. He was being a hypocrite because he himself had a pity rose story.
Right. Which is what I tweeted.
That's way different than what you just said about him leaving his girlfriend pregnant.
His pity rose story is that his girlfriend had a miscarriage and he broke up with her.
Well, I remember it being a little bit deeper than that because it sounded like he wanted the kid and then like them not, you know, having the miscarriage sort of.
Then why did I get my life threatened by Mike if we're not suddenly on his side?
Where I'm not on his side. I'm just saying that I pointed out a hypocrisy in like an Instagram story and you screenshot it and shared it. And that was on you because I would not ask you to do that.
And well, I wasn't even on the podcast for this.
He said he would punch me if he ever saw me.
Well, okay.
Well, he's got to recognize you first, so.
Well, my picture on Twitter is a pretty good likeness.
Oh, my goodness.
You just tweet back and we're like, this is what I look like, really. Also, yeah. I work at this place. Come find me.
All right. Okay, enough about and just like that. Hopefully, there'll be more eventful things happening in episode 4. Not much to say about this final episode. I fast forwarded through. I mean, I watched a little bit live and then I just was like, oh, I cannot do this without fast forwarding. So I went to sleep, woke up, and then today watched it on the DVR, which was a lot better. But that the entire second act, the entire second hour with commercials was simply Brandon and Nate telling the camera how much they're continuously in love with Michelle, just over and over. Brandon
is always the last episode.
Brandon is like straight up stalker, which we talked about last week, and you guys didn't agree with me.
Yeah, Craig, you keep saying he's a stalker, and I don't think you're using that term appropriately.
I think I am. I think he's gonna stalk her now.
I do not think he's going to actually stalk her. I don't know. I felt bad for him at the point when after, you know, he does the proposal and she says it's not him. And then they keep on walking away and then like hugging and crying and then walking a little bit more and then hugging and crying. And then they do a to camera interview with him and he's ugly crying. So you know that he's right. Like having, it's a real cry. It's not a for camera cry because he does not look good doing it. I felt bad for him then in particular, but I do think, so I haven't looked at Twitter since I like finished watching the episode, but the vibes I was getting from last week's episode was that a lot of Bachelor Nation was not rooting for Nate. They were rooting for Brandon in this situation.
Yeah, because he has his heart on his sleeve, that kind of thing.
Yeah, but he just takes it so far.
Yeah, I think that there's a difference between people see this as like, well, Nate's not good at explaining how he feels, which then makes it seem like, does he have those feelings? Or is he just sort of, you know, going along with this? And Brandon is very good at saying how he feels. He's very effusive with that.
We went over this all last week. He's too much.
What I'm saying, difference here is that to me, and this is also partially why I think her parents liked Brandon so much more than they liked Nate, is they were like, oh yeah, he's totally into you. We absolutely believe that he is. And I was like, and I think he is. I don't think that's a lie. I just think that there's a weird false equivalency between somebody being super effusive about how much they love another person and that equating to like, well, just marry them then. They'll be the best partner, you know?
Right. Yeah. I like that.
Well, you can see
the word effusive.
Oh my goodness. you can see why she didn't pick him too, not what Craig is talking about at all, but the boring kind of immature side of him that kept coming out.
Just no. Like a 15-year-old gets broken up with and then, like, you know, stalks on social media their partner. He's the same way.
He's not a stalker. He's just somebody who... I think there's all this referencing to, like, well, maybe Nate isn't ready because he's never been in love before. And I'm like, I mean, Brandon gives me the same sort of vibes as, like, I don't think he's ever actually been in love before either. So why is that considered different? I don't really get why they were such
let me come at this from a different angle, because I think you're what you're saying, Caitlin, is what I'm trying to say. Except I'm just going to take it to that next level, which is that he's a broken record on this I love you thing, and people are falling for it when they shouldn't. The parents fell for it when they shouldn't. And then there were all these people on Twitter last night that were... last night? Yeah. Seems like a long time ago. They were like, Brandon should be the next Bachelor, not Clayton. And I was going to engage and, like, start writing, like, replies, like, well, you're falling for this I love you. See, I don't have a good phrase for it. So I didn't engage on Twitter. I couldn't think of, like, the 140-character way of saying... If someone says I love you 1,000 times, it doesn't make it any more interesting than one time, you know? You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, but... Well, to how I differentiate between way, way far away from what you're saying, Craig, and not necessarily not what you're saying, Caitlin, but maybe something else, is what I was pointing out a few weeks ago, where he is sexist in a good way. Right. So he kept saying these things that I think as Michelle would be, if I was Michelle, would be smallish red flags, pink flags. They would not make me think that this man is ready. Right. The way Nate's not supposed to be ready. And they also would make me nervous about his maturity level and his actual commitment. Like, he just seems like he says things that make me think he just wants to win. So here's just a few of the things I picked out, and they do remind me of, you know, the good kind of sexism, or him trying to win against Nate.
In my heart, it's telling me if she made a mistake, like, go fight for her.
You hear the ocean in the background.
Yeah, oh my God, so bad.
I think she followed her heart, and that's where her heart led.
So he's like, what can I do about she it? Made a mistake. Oh, no, she didn't.
On the other side, like, I felt like a little bit my love was overlooked. But also, I didn't know the full story. You know, I only knew my portion. I only knew my part. But, yeah, you know, just a little confused. Just a little confused. I saw, you know, that you did want it to be Nate, and, you know, just this is everything before you, and, like, you tell me everything, and yeah, you can fall in love with two people, and I really appreciate you sharing that with me, because that's not easy, and, like, breaking someone's heart isn't easy, but I just felt like, you know, you really had to push Nate to that point, and it was just kind of confusing when you never had to question me, but you had to keep questioning him.
And then Caitlin doesn't let Michelle respond. She just kind of cuts it off and goes, well, you know, you're rambling, so we're going to just say goodbye to both you. You know, good luck. That's what happened. If you guys, it was very, like, to me, what Brandon said, I would want to respond to that, right? He says, well, first off, he says, you made a mistake. But no, you didn't. It wasn't a mistake. Sorry, I said that. I was out of anger. So, you know, he kind of backtracks immediately. And then he says, you weren't fair to me. And then he says, you know, you didn't have to push me there. You just had to push Nate there. Why'd you pick him? I would want to respond to that. It's not like it's a big deal. I mean, he didn't win, so it's fine. But he seems like a little immature, you know, like he wouldn't fight fair. So I can see why she didn't pick him, regardless of the obvious reasons why she didn't pick him.
See, I think we're all on the same page. We're just coming at it from different places. And you guys are being too tough on me.
Well, he's not a stalker though. He like doesn't. He. Here's the thing. He was deathly afraid of getting rejected, and that's why he did that other Hail Mary where he sends her a card like a middle schooler, and the writing on it was like very middle schooler.
Yeah, what was with the handwriting?
I was like,
it was very like non-masculine handwriting, if you can. Yeah. If there's such a
thing. It looked like the producer handwriting that they always have on stuff, you know, like on the date cards. But then they had him, and I cannot believe they made him do this. They had him read the letter out loud, voiceover. Like, oh boy, that moment. How does he not know when they're asking him to do that, that like, he's definitely not the one, and they're going to make him look kind of silly in a certain respect. But
well, I think he wanted to do that. I mean, he wanted to write the letter. So at that point, you're already there. Right. It's good. I will tell you this, as someone who's, if I was speaking to Brandon himself, and now that he's gone through it, it is good when something bad happens that you dread. I welcome dread now because I get to face it. And I think Brandon was so scared of facing this dread.
I got some dread I can pass over to you if you want it.
Well, I don't mean existential dread. I mean like daily dread. Like
I got some bills that need to be paid. I can send them to you.
Well, that's not my dread. I like my dread because it's personal to me. But I think that he needs to be a little bit more mature for her. And that was one of the things that when he kept saying these little things, I think you could see in her face that after the final rose, she's like, I totally made the right decision. Doesn't matter how many times he declares his love. He's immature.
Okay.
Yeah, I think like for me, the letter is in the same box as the when he pulled her before the rose ceremony where she sent Joe home. In this vein of, I don't think he realizes that it's as like manipulative as it is, if that makes sense, because he doesn't give me the vibe of being like a bad person. He gives me vibes of being like, he legit had feelings for her. I totally believe it. And that he seems like he at least tries to be a nice and good person. You know, I don't think he's like attempting to do something fishy. I think he's doing it without even realizing that what he's doing is.
Yeah. Just, well,
that
it looks, so that,
yeah. But so desperate.
So see, I need another word for, since you guys don't like the word stalker, I need another word, because what you just described, Caitlin, is exactly what I'm trying to say. He probably doesn't know he's doing it, but to say things like, I love your family so much. And then later during after the final rose, he was like, I loved your family so much. You know, I just can't wait to be part of this family. That's like not good. That's over the top stalker. behavior.
Stalker, but
I need another phrase so that you
I'm trying to,
why don't you just say desperate?
Because it is a little desperate. It is a little like a little try hard in a certain way.
Desperate doesn't seem right for me, for the word I'm looking for. It's not quite
well
right.
I said last week, you know, these people give the show validity. If there is no this guy, there is no show anymore. There's no show that can have a pretense around love. So I welcome this in the way, you know, if this show's has to, if we have any interest in this show being on the air, then he's a necessary evil or whatever, a necessary necessity. So I don't see any concerning or whatever you're trying to say that's the bad thing.
See it as a bad thing.
How can you see it as a bad thing? What is the point of the show if you don't have this?
Because it's not healthy behavior either for him or his partner.
Okay,
to be saying things that he said.
Is it immature behavior? Or is it something else?
See, I don't think it's strictly immature. I think it's a Venn diagram, like immature people say similar things that he has said, but he's coming at it from a mature place.
I don't think he's mature. I don't remember how old he is. I mean, I know he looks super young, but I don't think he's a very mature 27, guy.
27, I think.
What? Okay, then something is He's too old.
There you go.
Well,
there, you just said it. Say it again.
What?
Play some Craig Was Right music.
That is not Craig Is Right. That's just saying that he looks like a 15-year-old. He acts like a 21-year-old, and he's 27. I mean, men mature slower. I don't know what to say to that.
It's just a mature man saying what an immature person would say, which is not the same as being immature. I think
he doesn't. I mean, the thing is, stalker sounds scary.
Well, like, I think there are some red flags that
but they're not the same type of danger that stalker implies.
There could be, though. Now he's we have the shroud of a multi-billion-dollar juggernaut known as ABC protecting Michelle and protecting. I'm not going to accuse him of doing bad things, but there's seeds there of badness that if this was like occurring in Nebraska somewhere, it was just like off the grid, you know, no one was paying attention to it, could lead to some bad things. That's all I'm trying to say.
I don't know. That's weird. I don't see that.
That's so weird.
You don't
see it at all?
No, I don't see it at all. He is
really?
He is done. Like he
you
looked
don't
like
see it at, you don't see any bad stuff at no. all. That's shocking to me.
No, if his next girlfriend, if he's madly in love and she dumps him, I would say she's 70%, 50%, 70%, 80% safe. Yes.
So,
and I say the 20-30 because that's just men.
So you're saying
you know,
that
you
the
be
percentage
with any man.
Like, the percentages of unsafeness is the same for him as anyone else.
Yeah.
Is what you're saying.
Yeah, I would believe that too. I don't think he seems particularly like extra over the top or extra dangerous in some way more than like your regular average man does. Also, I double checked. He is 26, not 27.
Ah, it changes everything.
I do think I wouldn't expect him to necessarily be super mature at that age because I wasn't at 26, you know?
Yeah. Right. Well, it was amateur hour, though, with the sound guy and the set design and the location and the production manager and the coordinator.
God.
This is so, so bad. And then I guess they got pressured into wearing the live audience.
Yeah,
well,
what
the
was
production
that all about?
Got pressured into wearing masks. Like
I laughed pretty hard because so apparently what happened was, you know, when they start that first thing before like maybe it's even the first two commercial breaks, nobody in the audience is masked at all. And in fact, they even come back from one break and Gorsuch, Shore Joe and Serena are hardcore making out at one point. And then they like come back the next time after that. And now everyone is masked. And it's apparently because so many people on Twitter were like, oh my God, I can't believe they're unmasked. Like Omicron, this is so unsafe. And
yeah,
they felt
so weird.
They felt pressured into making people wear the mask. So they were like, listen, everyone here already tested negative, but we will wear the masks because that's what you want.
This is that. I mean, it's yeah, they should have from the beginning. But the whole season is amateur hour with the backstage people. The loud the location of obviously some kind of cove with waves crashing and they're like, here you go, bear your heart out, we have a sound guy here, don't worry, can't hear you, couldn't hear them at all.
The
closed captioning was a little bit behind, so I made it even worse. I'm like, what is happening, why am I watching this, like,
yeah,
you know, fifth grade, like this, like high schoolers video. This is
thank God,
God
I have the closed captioning on. I mean, I almost always do because I just like having stuff subtitled, but especially during that Brandon and Michelle proposal, after she like says it's not going to be him, everything else she says after that, I could not hear. I could only read on the screen.
Same
my
here.
Goodness, so bad. This is all that they're trying to, I think they're just trying to push this season out. All new Bachelor world. This is it. This is the actual, like, from Claire's season till now was their, you know, rough drafts. And to them, the Clayton season is the beginning of the actual show. New host, Clayton, exactly who they love, back in the mansion.
They get to travel.
Maybe they'll try again, you know, but this is so bad. Well, So I read in one of the headlines that the mortgage payment that they got, because I thought, well, a mortgage payment, $20K, right? No.
I was thinking
$200K.
There's
Is that a house in Minneapolis?
In Minneapolis.
Down payment for one, yeah.
It's not a whole house there?
No, I think if you were gonna get like a nice house, you'd still, it wouldn't be fully paid out, but it would be like a good chunk. Because even I think where I am, for like a small house, it's at least 400K here.
Okay, but why were they giving that gift anyway? Has anyone else gotten that gift?
I don't think so.
Not that substantial. I thought it was, if it was 20K, people have gotten trips to this, you know, couples have gotten trips together.
Yeah, Ellen gives away trips all the time to guests and stuff.
Yeah, but they've gotten, let's say, you know, whatever, everything included, maybe a 10K trip. So I thought a 20K present would be nice.
Yeah.
But 200, I mean, that's a lot. What? So I don't know.
Interesting.
That is like, see, we're not doing anything wrong. We approve our Clayton guy. Bye, everybody.
Listen, we're giving Michelle and Nate, people you like, so much money. Please like Clayton.
Yeah. So here is... Mm-hmm, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I'm just going to play the clip of Clayton, if you're ready to move on, unless you have anything to say about Nate.
No, because I want to talk
like
about...
To say... that I love Nate and I find them very cute together, actually. This is probably my favorite Bachelor pairing. Oh. Just because of like the way that they were acting and after the final rose, I was like, these people really like each other.
Yeah, I buy it.
It's very sweet.
My favorite Bachelor pairing is still Rachel and Brian. Because I think, I mean, they actually got married. They actually visit each other. Like, you know, we've seen the proof. So I get...
True.
Well, their love story,
Michelle and Nate get there. I feel like there's at least a decent shot that they do, although we know the track record is not good. So we'll see if 2 years from now they're still together and or married. Then I feel like they move really high up on the rankings.
I wasn't
going to talk about Nate. I was going to talk about the Santa Claus guy.
Oh,
Polly.
His name is Polly.
His name is Polly. Yeah.
Yeah, he's definitely a cameraman, or maybe he's the card dropper guy.
Well, what was with the cards? Like, why did he? I don't understand what the cards said. They
were all bits from different movies.
Yeah, he was doing like classic Christmassy movie bits. So the cards were Love Actually.
See, I'm glad I asked, Greg. Because that now makes sense.
The penny just dropped, but like, yes, it references that scene in Love Actually where that guy, I can't remember, does it to Keira Knightley at the door, and he has the cards.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
All right. So it wasn't very clever. It wasn't very good. I don't get how that is not a Christmas movie. That's like that has porn in it.
Well, it said Bachelor Nation, you are perfect. And I was like, what?
Yeah, because that's one of the lines on the card.
Yeah.
And it is a holiday movie, EZR. I will say that.
It has porn in it.
It has porn in it, but it is set at Christmas time. It is supposed to be like a holiday movie.
Yes.
But yes, there is porn in it.
I will not divert from there is porn in it. Like, do not make the mistake I made where I'm like, this is obviously a movie everyone loves for a reason. Gotta watch it in front of everybody. Whoops.
Well, if you read, like, there's like all these things that, like, if you dissect the relationships in Love Actually, they're all really toxic.
Yeah, they're all horrible. And it's not, I was gonna say, I've watched it and it's fine, in my opinion. It's not like amazing. I would be willing to watch it if somebody was really into seeing it. You know, if somebody's like, I would really want to put on Love Actually, I'd be like, sure, why not? But most of those relationships are terrible in the movie.
Have you ever met a Love Actually fan? I have not, and it's extremely popular.
I feel like...
I don't go around asking people if they like Love Actually.
Well, the thing is, a lot of things come up. You know, you'll find out people like... I know a very big John Cusack fan and a very big Nicolas Cage fan. I'm like, people actually like those people?
All the Nicolas Cage fans are coming out of the woodwork because of this new movie that Nicolas Cage is in. The Unbearable Weight of...
Yes. Of like being Nicolas Cage or whatever.
It's like he plays himself, which he does in all of his movies, but this time he really plays himself.
So it's like being John Malkovich.
Yeah. And yeah. It's like they go through all the roles he's been in and they like talk about how great he is in all of them.
It's a documentary?
I think it's like a faux documentary. Yeah. It's not out yet, so I don't know. But that's what
I mean, honestly, I would watch that because I have loved, you know, have you ever seen those like YouTube clips of like most ridiculous moments in Nicolas Cage movies? Those do make me laugh pretty hard.
Yeah.
I never actually seen it, but I say I like Con Air.
Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. That's the name of the movie.
Okay. Well, he's a Coppola, you know, he got there somehow. I don't think he would get there on his own. That's right. Nepotism. Okay. Nate. Done about Nate? Because
reading the Wikipedia page.
Yeah, go crazy.
We're not going to go too far into that, Craig. We've got so much other things we can talk about. I don't.
Exactly.
All right. I guess the last thing I wanted to say about Nate is that.
Nate and Michelle.
Yes, Nate and Michelle is the like the meeting the parents stuff. Was interesting how much. I mean, I wonder if it's only because the comparison with Brandon, who was like pretty smooth with the parents. He was really good at expressing himself. And then Nate comes in and he's super awkward and weird, you know? And so they were just like, this guy's not ready to get married. He just keeps on laughing. And like, he said he wasn't serious about love and that was an accident, but maybe he was meaning it, you know, like that kind of stuff. And I'm assuming he must have been just really nervous because he didn't come across as like cool or that he knew what he was doing at all there.
Right.
I don't buy any of it. I'm kind of like, didn't really, you know, they did it for the previews. They did it for fake drama. Because the first time you meet someone, you're not, even if they do come home and they're like, we might be getting married, you don't go, are you ready for that? You know, it seems a little rude on the parents' part, on the mom's
especially
part.
Especially because, like, her parents in general seem, like, very polite and nice people that... Yeah, I feel like they must have been encouraged to be like, you should really play it up that like you don't think he's ready just because he's not great at answering these questions, even though in a real life situation, you wouldn't be, you know, you wouldn't be asking him this stuff the first time you meet him and you would be understanding if he was like nervous and weird about answering it.
The whole premise is artificial. Like you wouldn't be like pulling the person aside to talk to him in another room. I mean,
you know what was missing from this whole thing that would have made it much more interesting was they never brought Joe back. And that seems real strange. You're supposed to say, at least have Michelle supposedly explain, because I think my humped and dumped theory stands. And yes, Craig, it is the most obvious explanation to me. She wanted to get him back. You know, she wanted retribution and she got it. She won the ghosting. She had sex with him and she dumped him. I'm proud of her for that. I'm going to take that. I'm going to believe that forever.
I know sex can be a weapon, but that doesn't seem like a particularly horrible thing to happen to a guy.
It's what she wanted. It was on her terms. That's excellent.
Okay.
And she let it happen. It's not like you can say, you know, she coerced him or something. So, my God, it should happen to every ghosted person.
I'm so happy. I wish all my ghosties would come back and have sex with me and then drop me.
No,
it's like every guy's dream.
You've never ghosted anybody. That's not you have to ghost them.
Right, we talked about if I ghosted, or if I've been ghosted.
Yeah, they yeah, anyway. no, you have not, if you've been ghosted, that's not who I'm talking about.
Yeah, but I'm saying it's every guy's dream to have women that you've ghosted show up, have sex with you, and then leave. I mean, isn't that what Seinfeld's about?
I mean, last week you said that this is horrible because the first time really sucks and you don't really get to show who you are. True. I forget. So I don't really get your point, like, overall, but okay. But in general, I am happy for Michelle that that Joe got his comeuppance. She got to make it look to me, you know, believable that she was like, well, you know what? No, I got you. And now I am done with you. Right. Okay. Clayton. But yeah, Joe wasn't back. We need that explanation. We needed that explanation. We didn't get it, maybe for that reason. Okay, what? Before what?
I don't think we're done talking about Nate.
Oh, yeah, we are.
Oh.
Go
ahead.
See, I thought that...
Like, I just like him.
I thought that it wasn't that he was so nervous. Like, he wasn't exceptionally nervous. It's that he was regularly nervous, and we're just not used to seeing that. Like, we're so used to seeing, like, these overconfident actor wannabe guys go in there and, you know, make a big splash. We're not used to seeing someone like Nate go in there and actually genuinely be nervous.
Well, we've also seen him kind of, I don't want to say not care about the situation, but we've seen him be willfully carefree.
Yeah, he's just a cool operator.
From last week and this week. And he is kind of playing on his own terms. Like, he doesn't exactly understand the gravity, and he kind of did that during the live portion too. So
yeah.
I don't have a lot of, that's why I'm kind of like, I don't know if I could take it or leave it. He seemed serious enough, but he also kind of seemed like he was having, you know, he's like, this is cool. Yeah. Okay. Fun. Yeah. You know, we'll take it as it comes. See what happens. See you later. You know, like,
that's because he's used to getting what he wants.
Yeah, I'm sure he's used to getting the women he wants to get. So maybe that's part of it. He's like,
the jobs he wants, the women he wants.
I don't know. It seems like he has a good job that he probably worked for.
Well, yeah, but they say tall guys do better in business.
You know, I have heard that. And also, attractive people in general tend to have, like, better job opportunities.
Right. See,
like, people automatically like them, basically.
Right. See, but right. The job description we heard last week about FreeWorks at Indeed.com is not exactly something that is looks based. I get what you guys are saying. Like, in an interview, yes, you will get maybe preference if you're better looking, if you're taller and all that stuff. But in general, that's like a good job. That's kind of my point.
Yeah, but throughout his whole life, he probably got picked first for the basketball team and then got...
Even though he's bad at basketball.
Oh, is he?
On the show, he was like, oh, yeah, I'm not actually good at this. And he was not good at it. It's just very funny because he's super tall.
He was probably asked first to prom. And then in college, he probably got, you know, the best bartending gig. And then,
yeah. And he could have copped out by getting a good looking guy's career that's just blah, blah, you know, schlock. But he got a good job.
But instead, he's now an Instagram influencer.
Well, we'll see, because I think that job is worth keeping. There's been a few times when I've thought that job is worth keeping. That job is worth keeping. There's some jobs you can never do again, even though they're so good at it. Like, lawyers can't really go back into the courtroom because you'll always be like, are you that guy? You know, those are good jobs that aren't worth keeping anymore. But this is different.
Yeah. I also think that, like, the vibe I very much got, especially when Michelle's dad was talking about sort of her career goals and stuff, is that I think she will not become a full-time influencer. I think she's going to do it as sort of like a side hustle, because it sounded like, you know, she wants to finish her master's degree. She wants to be a principal someday. You could take time off from teaching and come back to it later. Like, that's not a deal breaker in that kind of career necessarily. But I also think, like, she could make influencing money and not do it full time and still be a teacher.
Yeah.
I still don't trust that anyone's going to say, it's really hard for me, except for Nate's job, because you sound like you don't have to be in the office. You do not have to do those things anymore, which is interesting, right? She could be like, you know, that Khan's Academy. She could be a YouTube teacher or something.
She could also just sell, like, I don't know. You know how it's all, like, sell, like, health supplements or something? You can film that stuff on the weekend and post it up. You could have, you could hire an assistant to help you with it or whatever.
Yeah. I just, I'm very skeptical. People say they're going to stay in their hometowns and keep their real jobs. We'll see. That's very hard for me to believe.
I mean, there's been celebrity. I mean, there's celebrity. We live in LA. It's like, it's not like you, your kid goes to school and the, one of the parents is like famous. I mean, it's not.
This is different. They don't live here. Yeah, they don't. That's why I think, and they live very far from here. And it's not just about being here. I mean, they're close to Nashville. They're close to New York. They're close to the places where people from Bachelor Nation, and they're not just these low-level Bachelor people. They're A-list, at least right now, Bachelor people. So
that'd be cool if, like, my kid had Michelle as kindergarten teacher. It'd be fun.
Okay, are you ready to move on to Clayton now?
Yes.
Okay, all right. So here is what Caitlin's co-host, or I guess host Caitlin Risto said after they played, after they showed all those tweets that I felt were composite tweets. They were like composite tweets. They were like softball composite tweets.
They didn't have the name of the person who tweeted them, which was odd.
No. Because I really don't think that they are. I think they're the nice version and the low-level version of these tweets. Okay.
But that was so mean.
Here's what happened right after.
Clayton.
Thank you.
It's fun to be in on the joke. I think it's great. I know you, so I know you're self-deprecating. I know you can, like, laugh at this. And I also know America's going to fall in love with you once they watch you.
Okay, Craig. So... You think it was mean?
I know what you're gonna say. You're gonna say they did it so that he could get cheered and all that, and so it was all a tactical move. And I'm sure it was, but at the moment, while we were watching it, and then Caitlin kept adding more. I just thought it was mean at the moment.
Adding
Well, first it was three, and then she was like, let's do two more. They did two more, and then she goes, let's do one more. So they did six total. I just thought it was like, man, you're really piling it on.
Yeah, only some of them were mean-ish. Like, I thought the Shrek one was legitimately funny.
I'm not saying they weren't funny, don't get me wrong. I'm just saying I was like, whoa, man, this is mean. Make them read these? That's all.
Well, my actual, other than the fact that, yeah, I do think that being self-deprecating as Caitlin kind of fourth wall breaking, Miss Obvious, like, let's state what's happening, says, is the only thing Americans will appreciate in a time when they actually don't like him. But what the second thing that was strange to me is they never actually addressed the actual criticisms of him.
Right.
They just said that people just don't like him. And that's not exactly true. It's not that they don't like him. The criticisms have more to do with what happened with all this placating and all this wokeness that the Bachelor was supposed to be shifting towards.
Right.
That was the criticism.
It does not feel like the criticism that I've seen does not feel like anyone is like, Clayton sucks because I think he's a bad person and I hate him. Most people are usually like, he's probably very nice. It's just that, like, he's not who people wanted for a variety of reasons. And the show also did a terrible job outside of just picking, like, your standard white bachelor that they love so much. They also did a terrible job of introducing him to the audience. Right. And that's production's fault. That's not his fault.
Well, and if they're going to do the next, if they really wanted to do that, and they really did care what people thought, because they don't care what people think, they should have waited to film and waited to announce until, I don't know, until they, or waited for people to find out until way later. They should have they needed him, right? They picked him way before anyone even saw a clip of him. And they started filming before anyone even saw a clip of him. Mm-hmm. So maybe it wasn't the right time, but like I think they wanted to start fresh. I just think that it's really misleading and really a political move to say you're facing the criticisms head on and not actually face the actual criticisms. These were the tame, you know, propaganda criticisms.
Roses are red, violets are blue. Problem. Clayton is the new bachelor, and I just puked in my mouth.
I don't think that's a real tweet, because it's not good.
I don't think that's a real tweet either. Yeah. I think some of them might have been inspired by real tweets and then twisted them a little bit.
I've never seen tweets on TV that don't say who wrote the tweet. It's just like, come on, we're not that stupid. Well, maybe we are, I guess. I
mean, no, we are debating it. We are. Like, not we, but yeah, the collective we are. And this is the new, they are refocusing there. This is not the Bachelor on a mental hiatus anymore. This is the real Bachelor. This is Clayton. This is who they've always wanted. This is the new host who they've always wanted, who's Chris Harrison, you know, 2.0, except much beefier. And I mean, yeah, like he's an upgrade to them.
I not only love kind of guy. Both of you, but I've been
I'm talking about Jesse Palmer.
With both of you.
Oh my God. I mean, honestly, I now do want to know the story behind that a little bit. But I was backing up for, you know, throughout the episode before, after the final rose, it was all about Michelle was in love with two men and they're in love with her. And like, oh my God, how did this happen? How does she choose, et cetera? And so in my head, I heard like a movie announcer voice being like, you thought it was wild that Michelle was in love with two men. Well, get a load of this. This next guy's in love with three women.
Right. Yeah.
I think bachelors like this, I've always thought that bachelors like this are the most interesting seasons because of the way they're manipulated and the way the women are manipulated and the way they manipulate each other. So for what The Bachelor is worth, I think this is going to be fine. I have no problem with the season, quote, being boring. I've never thought that. But don't tell us something that it's not. That's what always bothers me, is that The Bachelor always has a good way of making us forget our actual criticisms and like fighting on a different plane, right? Like I accuse you, Craig, of doing something and I'm trying to talk about it with you, and instead you turn around and say, well, what about when you did this? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And then I start fighting about what I did. I'm like, wait a minute. I came to you first. And that's what The Bachelor always does. They always refocus and get me to argue about something else when that wasn't my issue. So in that way, they're lying to me. I'm stupid. And they always do that. And I think that's the disrespect that people should be talking about instead of the other thing. Anything? That's it. short 3 hours, super long 3 hours with no content.
Well, we got to talk fashion.
Oh, okay. Last fashion.
Last fashion. For, and then what, 2 weeks off, and then we're back at it.
Oh, my God. Well, there's not going to be any fashion on that season.
This is the fashion roundup. Craig likes to talk about the people they're wearing. All right, so, Caitlin, what did you think of Tayshia's Greek toga party inspired dress that she wore at the end?
Oh, like when her and Caitlin were greeting Brandon and Nate before they walked down. I didn't like either one of those dresses, the Caitlin or the Tayshia one. Like, Caitlin's kind of looked like a 1990s prom dress or something. It was a weird, you know what I mean? Like, it was like a short, cool prom dress that you wear. And yeah, Tayshia's just wasn't, it just wasn't a very cute dress, which is kind of hard because most of the time when she wears something, she looks really good in it. And this was just like, oh, it's just like a weird piece of fabric on your body. It's fine, I guess.
I legit thought she was wearing a toga. It's pretty funny.
I have no idea what you guys are talking about, but I really thought Brandon's wardrobe throughout was interesting. First off, he had makeup on his forehead that sweated off. or maybe he just had something like dirt on his forehead that he wiped. Right?
It could have been like Tanner, honestly, too. Maybe yes. On a glow.
Jade and Tanner.
Was like,
I think it was maybe like a highlighter or a bronzer or something in that realm where like you want your face to look really good because you're on camera.
Right.
Yeah. It was because I think he's gotten pressure about his skin tone just being one skin tone, so he tried to even it out, and then it just really brought attention to his forehead, which is a really bad way to break up. You want to look good. You don't want to be like the person to say, yes, that's why I broke up with you.
Yeah, I had some rough time too, because on that like beach setup looked so sweaty, and then they're crying, so like, if you're wearing makeup, it's gonna smudge in that situation.
I felt bad. I actually said out loud that I felt bad for Brandon wearing that suit out on that beach because the tide was coming in, and the water was everywhere.
And wearing like the dress salt. Shoes as they walk along like the waves. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And then he was wearing, on one of the days before that, he was wearing a really 90s look. So he had like a white polo shirt on, but instead of buttons, like the three buttons you're supposed to have around your collarbone, it was a zip up thing that had a circle at the end, like a closed like a circle pull
on the zipper. Yeah.
Yes. Oh my God. I haven't seen, I hate to be an old lady, but like I haven't seen one of those in so long. When's the last time anyone's worn anything like that, and where do they sell it? Like, where do they sell a circle pull?
Like, women's clothing, as it, like, you know, the 90s revival stuff. Sometimes I'll see it, but it hasn't come back in a major way for women. So I don't know where he found, but you know what was even weirder to me, besides the half zip with the little circle pull, is that he tucked that into, like, a pair of khakis? And it was just a weird, I wrote down this look because I was like, Brandon, what are you wearing? Why did you... It makes you look like you're going to like your ninth grade dance or something.
Well, you know why those there's something that viscerally, other than the nostalgia, there was the visceral reminder that those, when I've had those and they never really took care to make that, for some reason on the circle pull, the zipper has to be made out of sharp metal teeth instead of plasticky metal or smaller zipper, and it would catch your skin and hurt so much. So I had this like, ugh, I hate that thing. And I didn't know why until I remembered that it would hurt. So yeah, he doesn't have any chest hair, so I'm sure he's fine, but right? He doesn't. But I was who would buy that? Who would look at that? I mean, I guess he's young enough he doesn't remember, but it's still ugly. And he wore the wallpaper velvet smoking jacket look. And after the final rose.
Right.
Like so like red, black red lapels. Black. Yeah, with maroon. You know, regular, like, the coat match. Was maroon with like these velvet. I'm sure they were these velvet pop out things, right? Caitlin, how you describe those? Like the design was velvet, but the rest was like probably satiny.
Pattern is printed, so like the velvet is raised, kind of.
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
That is an outdated look to me. Outdated in a bad way.
I think too. He just doesn't have great taste in clothes, is what I've concluded from this. Because, well, I mean, the suit he wore for the proposal was fine. Regular suit, nothing bad about it. Looked kind of cute. The only bad part was that he had to wear it on like a sweaty beach and walk in the sand in it. But a lot of his other outfits, you're just like, why did you choose to wear that, Brandon? That's not great.
Well, what's her name? Caitlin had to, she said, well, Michelle goes, oh, we match. Right? Because her dress matched. It was the same color, that kind of wine red color as his jacket. And then when Nate came out, Caitlin was like, oh, you guys kind of match. Because he kind of matched. It was a funny moment.
Yeah. I also feel like they might have, like somebody in production half might have made her and Brandon match in some way. And like, wouldn't Nice. Right. If you wore a wine red color, that's a nice one.
Yeah, know? Exactly. Yeah. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge.
Yeah, like something along those lines, just because you know that can't be accidental when it's not like black or white or some like really basic color that it would be easy to accidentally match in. Yeah, I think somebody prompted one or the other of them to go that way. But yeah, his clothes are not great. Though, you know what I did really like in this episode is the dress Michelle wore for the proposals. I thought looked really good on her. The like silver sparkly dress.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's, it looks so beautiful on her, and it's like a nice fancy dress.
Yeah. Hey, guess what, Caitlin?
What?
EZR is muted. Oh no! Well, no, unmuted. No, she's muted again.
You guys mute all the time.
I don't mute.
What's the big deal? I just don't have anything to. Well, Caitlin mutes all the time, and
I do mute all the time.
Oh. It's like your name is under a gray bar on Skype, so like, it's less easy for me to see you muting than easier I'm muting.
Well,
I mean, the interface is different every time I boot Skype up, so I'm sure it'll change.
You're the only one that that's happening to, because mine looks the same every time.
No, well, I'm on Windows, and they just rolled out Windows 11, so Skype is trying to match that with this like fresh white updated look.
Ugh. Huh. Okay. Well, yeah, I don't know anything about that. Oh, Craig, what did you think of what Caitlin wore to host the special?
It stands out because I saw a lot of it, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing about it was like particularly great, in my opinion. It didn't show off her. Am I allowed to say this? It didn't show off her breasts very well. Isn't that the point of a dress?
You just said it so awkwardly. Yeah, I mean, I think it was an interesting dress to me because I didn't hate it, but I was also, there were some details on it that were weird, like the thigh slit, the way it was like a triple stripe little banding thing that right. Then goes down to this sort of weirdly shaped thigh slit. I was like, I don't really get why it was designed that way, but sure. And easier, you'd probably like, it did have puffed sleeves on it.
Yeah, but I feel like it matched your, I don't like when things match your skin too much or the shiny. I don't know. It's kind of boring. She's
done better with clothes on this season and on other seasons than this dress, but it was fine. It wasn't the worst one that I've seen either of the co-hosts wear, but yeah, I didn't love it. The color was a little weird. I wrote down, like, I couldn't tell exactly, like, a metallic rose gold, maybe?
Mm.
I would say, but it's hard to classify that color.
Yeah, who knows? It's like Mother of Pearl. I'm like, what color is that? Not really like Mother of Pearl, but, you know, always like purple? Beach?
Yeah, I don't really know what you'd call it. It,
yeah.
And I think it was interesting because I thought like her hair and makeup looked good, but the dress itself was a little bit of a like a miss in terms of the style.
Right.
Well,
okay, real quick. Go ahead.
Bells. No, I was going to say, I think she really is going to miss this job. It does feel kind of regressive that they wouldn't pick a woman for host. She's pretty good at it, herself, by herself.
Yeah. She wasn't bad at all in this. I enjoyed her hosting this. I thought she did a good job. So
I also like that she moves. Yeah. She moves things along, which I really appreciate.
And she's like fun. She's able to carry the conversations. I feel like she does this better than Chris Harrison did it at this point. Right. So I don't understand why she didn't get the gig over Jesse Palmer.
Have you seen Jesse Palmer?
He's like a meathead.
Yeah, well, we saw him in person, Mark and Easier and I, and it's kind of amazing how these personalities work when the camera's rolling versus when it's not. So we'll have to wait and see. I was just gonna say, like, we don't know. He could be the greatest host of all time.
No. But Caitlin Christo is, like I said, she's so charismatic. She could have really pulled this off, I think, except that she wasn't even in consideration. And to me, it's shocking that someone like Wells Adams could possibly be considered ahead of Caitlin Bristowe. Because Wells doesn't have that thing.
I think Caitlin does have that thing.
Well, Tayshia hasn't really, I haven't seen her alone. That's my issue, is that I have seen Caitlin alone. And with Tayshia, when they're together, I don't think that works at all. Because they're flubbing each other's lines and they're having too much fun. It's annoying. But everything else is fine.
Yeah, I think them together is not as good as either of them separately would be. And that it seemed like the decision was to sort of split, like, we like both of these women. Let's just put them both as host instead of actually choosing one or the other. And that might have been a better decision. But yeah, I don't. The only reason I feel like, and this is such a like stereotype that I feel like the Bachelor production folks would have, is that they didn't want a woman on her own to be the host of the other, like the regular franchise and things like that, because they didn't want it to be like, oh no, what if the men just fall in love with the woman who's standing there, instead of being like, or she could just be like doing her job and she's not interested in any of them.
Right. Yeah. And that, and I feel like that, like I said, with Claire's season, I felt like that was totally possible. Wait, no, it's Claire. Yeah. No, Claire. Yeah. So Claire still had Chris Harrison, but with someone's season where I was like, Katie Thurston. I was like, you just screwed them all over. Who was the Bachelorette? I don't know. And they're just too close to the game. You know, they need to be a few more than five seasons removed. So I don't really like that aspect, though. I don't like it. Caitlin Bristowe needs to be settled down more to be a host. But I think in general, she does have it. But I don't know if you get... Craig, I don't know how far back you go. Like, I don't remember exactly when this was. But Chris Harrison was accused of flirting and maybe more with a former model contestant.
That's addressed in the book, isn't it?
And I think never substantiated.
I feel like that's talked about in the book.
Yeah, I haven't gone to that part yet because I've been putting off finishing the book for now. But I do remember vaguely hearing some rumors about that, and it being, yeah, I think that's the thing that they were worried about, is that, like, what if the host dates the contestant or something like that, and that's make everything weird.
Well, in Unreal, that happens.
But the thing is that already some people have said the same thing about Jesse Palmer, saying that,
I don't think there's any less likelihood that he might date a contestant than anybody else they were considering.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of which, very quickly, Hannah Brown's brother is now engaged to Jed Wyatt's ex-girlfriend, the same woman who was that he was apparently dating while he was on the show. Is that correct, Caitlin?
Yes. So I sent you the story.
Yeah. But it's so funny because I saw this story like as it, quote, broke.
Yeah.
And I thought nothing of it. I thought, well, that makes sense to me. I mean, you reach out to someone who's your possibly going to be your family member, and not the girlfriend, but you reach out to say like, oh, I'm so sorry. You know, what's going on? And you meet them and you're, you know, so in my mind, Hannah Brown's brother reaches out to Jed's ex and says, I'm so sorry this happened to you. I've met Jed and he's horrible. I get why this happened. And then you just meet. And they're like, I didn't feel like it was very, very strange.
Well, I was going to ask if either of you have ever had a relationship as entangled as this one.
Not exactly like this, because to me, I was just imagining being Hannah in that situation and being like, you got to go to a family event where your brother is engaged to like the other woman your fiance was dating at the same time as you.
But isn't that par for the course for these,
like, shitty Jed, you know, like anytime you ran into her, you'd be like, oh, that's right. Fucking Jed, you know, like, which would make me feel terrible. But I mean, I went to a really small college, so everybody's sort of like at one point I dated somebody who I had become friends with because they were dating my roommate, but in actuality they had another girlfriend the whole time, and they were actually like, my roommate was the other woman in that situation. And then the other So this is gonna be so hard to explain. So it's like, all right, my roommate was the other woman in this thing. The woman who the guy was like together with this whole time, who he was dating, I was dating her ex at the same time that my roommate was the other woman in her relationship. Hmm. Yes. So I guess wow. I have been in an
integral Yeah, sounds situation. Like it. That's a good one.
And then later on, I dated that guy as well. So.
Well, we can pick yeah, this I back mean, up in a couple of weeks. Go ahead, Easy.
I just, I don't know. I just don't think it, I didn't think it was that. I think it makes, in the same way that Michelle kept saying, like, it was meant to be with Joe. You know, I bet they have a lot of connections, more than just, I bet their best friends know each other and something else, you know? So I felt it very, oh, well, that could totally happen. And I wasn't told. I mean, I've accidentally dated, we've talked about this on the pod, like the same band members,
right?
Things like that. And I'm sure Hannah Brown is totally over Jed and maybe didn't even accordingly, didn't even like him that much. Although I don't know how much I believe that. But I don't know. Isn't this par for the course for like, Alabama in general? Or am I just a jerk?
We'll leave that unanswered. Okay, leave us a review, follow us on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, and we'll see you in a couple weeks.
Bye.
Okay, bye.